I'm author and athlete Brad Kearns. Welcome to the Be Rad Podcast, where we explore ways to pursue peak performance with passion throughout life. Visit bradkearns.com for great resources on healthy eating, exercise, and lifestyle. And here we go with the show. I want to discuss the incredible benefits of red light therapy and how you can get started with Mito Red Light. Mito, like mitochondria, red light makes the premier light therapy devices in the world and at incredibly affordable prices. I stand in front of my Mito Pro 1500 unit every morning, carefully exposing my eyeballs, other important balls, and my entire body to special wavelengths of red and near-infrared light. When I tell people about my daily devotion to red light therapy, they typically ask, does this stuff really work? And the answer is yes, and there are thousands of studies supporting its effectiveness. Here's how. It's called photobiomodulation, where specific wavelengths of red and near-infrared light, red's visible, near-infrared is not visible, that's why it looks like only half of your panel's working, these wavelengths help mitochondria in cells throughout your body produce more energy and clear waste products more efficiently. Red light exposure helps mobilize nitric oxide trapped in the mitochondria and allows oxygen to return to the cell and increase ATP production. The benefits are proven again and again for skin health, muscle recovery, joint pain, and numerous inflammatory conditions. Red light therapy is also beneficial for circadian rhythm alignment, because we generally get far too little direct sunlight and too much indoor blue light from screens and light bulbs at the wrong times. You don't hear much about this benefit of red light therapy, but when I turn on those lights first thing in the morning, as soon as I wake up, I walk across the hall, I stand in front of the panels, and I feel instantly awake and energized. And believe me, there's a lot of days where Mr. Health Guy here wakes up feeling a little groggy and a little whiny, like I don't want to get up now and get into my morning exercise routine. But when I stand in front of the lights, in 1 minute, I swear I feel wide awake. I get all that grogginess out naturally. It's super powerful, super effective. Besides all the healing and the cellular benefits, I also love it for being a natural wake-up machine. You have to try red light therapy. I am certain that you will become a devoted user. And guess what? Mito Red Light offers a 60-day no-risk trial period and a special 5% discount for Be Rad podcast listeners. Just visit Mito Red Light, M-I-T-O, redlight.com, and use the code BRAD on any of their products. Go for it today and get started on your red light journey. The ancestral health movement has exploded over the past decade and more. It's so wonderful to see people raising their awareness of our genetic expectations for health, as informed by the wonderful scientific study called Human Evolution, the longest and most stringent of all scientific studies. But one thing I'm thinking about lately is this obsession with the ancestral model that can possibly be taken to an extreme to where it delivers adverse results. And so I want to validate the ancestral model so strongly, especially as it pertains to cleaning up our act with all the adverse influences in hectic, high-stress modern life and the many disconnects from our genetic expectations for health and our ancestral experience, things like getting out in the sun every day, walking around barefoot and connecting with the charge of the earth, eating healthy, natural, wholesome foods that are in the plant or the animal category rather than the processed food category. So all these things are wonderful. Our obligation to move and exercise and sprint and put our body under resistance load, as was the model for survival of the fittest selection pressure in the old times and how we evolved as humans. However, today, I think what's going on is we can easily drift into what we might call black or white thinking, where we have an urgent need and an obsession with modeling the ancestral example to the extent that we inappropriately apply the philosophy or the strategy to the realities of hectic, high-stress modern life. And one place where this shows up is when we stack the hormetic, so-called hormetic stressors that made our ancestors strong, tough, resilient human beings, and we try to throw those into the mix today on the already busy canvas of the many forms of chronic stress in modern life. So we're not going to completely unplug and disengage from the grid. Maybe some people are, but we are subject to influences like endocrine disruptors in the environment, the sources of chronic stress that come from pursuing a career in the modern information technology world, long hours spent in front of a screen. And then we are also told that we need to go jump into cold water or into the hot sauna or perform these intense strength training sessions, putting our body under resistance load, sprinting, going out there and doing a ton of cardio, and also fasting like our ancestors did, not eating fruit throughout the winter like our ancestral model suggests. And we start looking at envisioning a blank piece of paper, draw a line in the middle, and you have on one side modern stressors, and you have on the other side stress balancing behaviors such as getting adequate sleep or taking downtime from mobile technology, taking downtime from the screen, getting away from artificial light in the hours after dark, all those kind of things. And it looks like one side of the page is getting a bunch of stuff on it, and there's not enough stress balance on the other side. So what I'm talking about here is reflecting on the distinction between what's possible when we model the pain and suffering and the ordeals that our ancestors endured to become the top of the food chain, the lean, strong, smart, well-adapted human, versus the conveniences and the progressions that we have today in order to live a more comfortable, meaningful, and productive life. So do we need to torture ourselves in the same manner that our ancestors did in order to obtain the health benefits that they got by default when they starved through the long, dark, cold, harsh winter and got really good at making ketones to fuel the brain and still remain active when they had to go looking for food when they were starving? And my contention is that we can easily misinterpret this or get out of hand with the modeling of the ancestral example in hectic, high stress modern life. And I'll put myself up as an example where I'm trying to live an evolved, meaningful, productive modern life. I've neutralized all the primal hazards that that caused our ancestors a lot of grief and the obsession with just finding the next meal or building shelter and surviving the long, harsh, cold, dark winter, right? So now I can look to the possibilities of going above and beyond the ancestral example. For example, I'm training for the 400 meters, one lap around the track, and then trying to jump over a high jump bar, putting up at a certain height. And I'm going to venture to guess that I can kick any ancestor's ass at the age of 57 in those two events because I train for them in the modern manner and put out a lot of energy and striving for performance and recovery and physical adaptations to training. Similarly, the winner of the CrossFit Games or the final qualifier of the CrossFit Games is so physically superior and stronger and fitter and faster and quicker than any ancestor in the history of humanity. It's not even a comparison. Same with any modern elite athlete. We have to remember that all of our ancestors, by definition, in survival of the fittest conditions and selection pressure conditions, were obsessed only with survival, and that they did, by definition, again, of what hunter-gatherer lifestyle is, they did only the bare minimum necessary to survive. They did not go out and hunt for additional food because they had no refrigerator and they had no store where they could sell it and make money and buy themselves a nice car or some nice clothing. So they went and did the bare minimum necessary to survive. There is very high likelihood that a lot of our ancestors had it super easy. So we romanticize the notion that these guys were so tough and chasing after the woolly mammoth all winter long and bare feet and dealing with unimaginable hazards and dangers. But there are also probably a lot of them who emigrated across the globe following the seashore for the most part And if you look at the Oppenheimer human migration across the globe interactive charts, fascinating, because our ancestors first left Africa around 60,000 years ago and followed the shoreline heading east all the way through the Middle East, India, over to Indonesia, Australia, and then finally turned back and eventually made it up to Europe around 30,000 years ago. So following the shoreline, it's likely they had access to abundant marine life where they could spend very little time doing anything super hard, and just having enough food and building enough shelter to enjoy life and reproduce and lay on the rock all day and stare at the stars at night. This is just for argument's sake, right? So it wasn't all this torture and this pain and suffering and sprinting away from saber-toothed tigers and building strong muscles, lifting heavy boulders to build another important shelter to save themselves from the next predator. Although that certainly was definitely the selection pressures made the human strong and resilient and smart and all those great things. But today, putting that aside for a moment, if I aspire to perform and recover in my chosen events and do fun things like speed golf that our ancestors had no ability to concern themselves about, I'm concerned with how do I do this to the best of my abilities to recover optimally and to fuel myself optimally so that I don't have to struggle and suffer in the manner of someone who was enduring selection pressure and not getting enough food to eat. So what's possible versus what's optimal? It's possible to starve yourself for a long time and turn down all these important dials like libido, hormone balance, thyroid function, repair and growth, right? And just survive and linger along with a little bit of brain fog, a little bit of extra fatigue, lack of vitality and energy because, for example, you're not giving yourself enough nutritious calories, or you've chosen a highly restrictive diet that's not giving you enough of the important micronutrients that you need. And so it's possible for people to walk around doing extended fasting or vegan type diets and reporting that they feel okay. And we don't even know what's optimal because we have nothing to compare it to. So in my case, as I talk about a lot on shows, I'm wanting to go from level 7 to level 9, or if the case may be level 5 to level 7. I don't know what level I'm at, but I'm always trying to do better and experiment and fuel myself appropriately and rest appropriately so I don't overdo it and get injured, and learn from my mistakes and continue to progress the conversation forward. And so that's quite a bit different than going backward in time and thinking that we have to suffer through ordeals because modern life is too easy and comfortable. There are a lot of chronic stressors in modern life that must be regarded in the same refrain as the artificial stressors that we heap upon ourselves in the name of honoring ancestral health. That's why, for example, my cold therapy practice, which I am a strong believer in, has tremendous number of health benefits, but I've dialed back the duration of my cold exposure sessions from trying to be a badass and go in there longer and longer and report that I can make it for 6 minutes sitting in 38 degree water, to where now I've discovered a sweet spot of 1.5 to 2.5 minutes where I actually appreciate the experience and I don't dread it psychologically, and I don't have to muster up this courage and this badass mentality to go in there and try to endure for a longer period of time. Because what I noticed was that when you go past that sweet spot of an appropriate level of stress and hormonal stimulation, it just becomes another thing on the list of modern stressors, along with looking at the screen too long and exposing yourself to environmental estrogens when you're drinking out of the plastic water bottle. So it's about striving for optimal instead of just seeing what your body can take, pushing the body too hard, for example. I hope that makes sense. We all want to live longer, for example, too. So when we think about the concept of, or the statement, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger, and we all nod our heads, and what a wonderful notion that is, and that's why you should go in and push harder than you thought possible so you could finish the marathon or what have you. It's also very likely that what doesn't kill you can kill you slowly over time. Thank you, Jay Feldman, for that pearl of wisdom. And when it comes to, for example, years and years of extreme endurance training, competing in these modern events that, again, were non-existent and unthinkable in primal times, you can overdo it to the extent that you are not benefiting your health and you are going beyond what's optimal into survival mode. And that is the essence of your modern life. And I don't think anyone would argue in favor of struggling and suffering in an inappropriate way, right? Dr. Roger Bannister, I mean, Sir Roger Bannister, the late Sir Roger Bannister, the first person to break 4 minutes in the mile, he had a wonderful quote that I'll never forget in his book. And he said, struggle gives meaning and richness to life. Profound quote. And he was talking about the struggle of performing as an athlete and striving to break the 4 minute mile barrier and compete to the best of his abilities. But I think today, a lot of modern athletes are struggling in an inappropriate manner, pushing themselves too hard and engaging in overtraining patterns, or again, trying to pair the assorted stressors of fasting, keto, carb restriction, time-restricted feeding with pushing the body hard at high-intensity workouts. So let's all settle down a bit and try to be optimal for the realities of modern life and all the stressors that we face anyway, and keep things under stress-rest balance at all times. Thanks for listening and watching. What do you think? Send me an email, podcast@bradventures.com. Hey, I want to tell you about Schwenk Grills. This is a revolutionary portable gas infrared grill that uses the exact same heating technology as the world's best steakhouses. You heat up to 1500 degrees Fahrenheit to grill the juiciest steak you've ever tasted in as little as 3 minutes. Can you believe it? That's right. You do not have to go to those crowded, noisy, super overpriced steakhouses anymore when you have the same technology in your backyard. And the Schwenk portable infrared grill is not just for steak. You can make chicken wings, hamburgers, seafood, lobster, vegetables. I make salmon in 3 minutes. They even have a pizza stone accessory. I want you to visit their very informative and mouth-watering website at schwankgrills.com. That's S-C-H-W-A-N-K. Everything you cook, faster, juicier. The speed is so important, so convenient. There's a drip tray on the bottom, so you let the juices drip down. I love the bison burger, the venison burgers. That's my game. And then you can add a mixture of butter, spices, whatever you want into the tray. Pour it back onto your meat or your salmon for a huge improvement in flavor. Are you getting hungry? I am. Let's go to schwankgrills.com, S-C-H-W-A-N-K, grills.com, and up your home cooking game. This is a one-of-a-kind grill. I have a great discount code for you, of course. It's Brad150 to save $150 off your purchase of a Schwenk grill. Thank you for listening to the show. I love sharing the experience with you and greatly appreciate your support. Please email podcast@bradventures.com with feedback, suggestions, and questions for the Q&A shows. Subscribe to our email list at bradkearns.com for a weekly blast about the published episodes and a wonderful bi-monthly newsletter edition with informative articles and practical tips for all aspects of healthy living. You can also download several awesome free ebooks when you subscribe to the email list. And if you could go to the trouble to leave a 5 or 5-star review with Apple Podcasts or wherever else you listen to the shows, that would be super incredibly awesome. It helps raise the profile of the BRAD podcast and attract new listeners. And did you know that you can share a show with a friend or loved one by just hitting a few buttons in your player and firing off a text message? My awesome podcast player called Overcast allows you to actually record a soundbite excerpt from the episode you're listening to and fire it off with a quick text message. Thank you so much for spreading the word. And remember, be rad.